Hi everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Who We Are podcast, where we are going to deep dive into a subject that strikes at the very heart of humanity. I first learned about International Justice Mission, IJM, through my dear friend Jasmine, and it was truly heart-wrenching to discover that an organization like IJM exists to rescue children from the horrors of online sexual exploitation and other forms of violence. Through my own journey, I've also been inspired to support this cause, donating the profits from my 5-minute journal to IJM. For over 25 years, IJM has been a beacon of hope for the most vulnerable, protecting people in poverty from violence and bringing justice to those who have suffered. Their mission is clear: to rescue victims, restore survivors, and build a future where justice is unstoppable. Today, we are so honored to hear from Cassie, a courageous survivor whose story exemplifies the resilience of human spirit. Together, we'll explore her journey from darkness to light, the grim realities of online sexual exploitation, and how IJM's work is changing lives worldwide. Welcome to the show, Cassie.
Hi.
And thank you so much for being here. Welcome
to
Singapore.
Thank you for having me.
So before we begin, for those of us who may not be as familiar with you and your journey, could you share with us a little about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Hi, so I'm Cassie from the Philippines. I'm a survivor of human trafficking and modern-day slavery. I was a victim of cyber sex, online exploitation and abuse. And currently, I'm actually advocating against human trafficking for almost 8 years now since I was rescued until now. So I continued my passion in, you know, raising awareness about human trafficking.
It's amazing. So, you know, before we dive deeper into your story, bring us back to your growing up years. In the very beginning, what was it like growing up in the province that you were from in Philippines that you endearingly called the mountain?
In Philippines, I grew up in Mindanao, in a mountain with my family. So I'm the youngest I'm the youngest of 12 children.
Wow.
Yeah, we're a lot. So I have a lot of siblings. I'm the youngest one. So growing up in a mountain is not that easy. I can say that we're not financially stable, but we're happy for what we have and contented of what we have. My parents, they didn't even finish their school because there's no school in the mountain. And there's no technology. And our life there is farming, gardening.
Yeah.
So it's like our life there is like starving. But I think I can say that we're all happy in a small house. We're complete.
Yeah.
And we all have this smile every day, like we're surviving every day, even though like starving, hungry. So
how, what did your parents do for a living and how did they put food on the table for you and your 11 other siblings?
So my dad is like farming.
He's a farmer,
and then we do also like fishing.
Mm.
And my brothers, they're actually helping my dad in a farm. Mm. So planting some rice. And me as a youngest and all of the girls with my siblings. We're all like 4 girls.
Mm.
And so we have to help my mom. So like you have to learn on household.
Yeah.
So I'm also helping them. And our life there is just farming.
And you mentioned no school.
Yeah,
no,
there's no school.
So what do kids do there?
I was very young. I'm just exploring my life in the mountain with, you know, playing in a lake.
Mm.
And there's no building or anything. It's all forest.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so your siblings too, you know, they were not formally educated.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
But at the young age, I had this in my mind that school about education. So
you had a dream.
Yeah, I had a dream.
Yeah.
That's why my parents moved to the city.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before we get there, growing up, how was your relationship like with your parents and your siblings?
I'm actually a very sweet daughter and like my other siblings. So I love them so much. Mm. They are everything to me. And I think I've always seen myself that I'll be successful one day. My relationship with my parents is, I think it's just so deep. And because I'm a Christian, so I think we always center the Lord in our family.
Mm.
That's why, you know, yeah. We always, every day, we all have this prayer.
Mm.
So I think...
So it's a very close-knit family.
Yeah, I'm very close to them. Yeah. I think to my siblings also and to my parents.
Mm. So you talked earlier about, you know, also your dream of having an education and living a better life in that sense. And you also mentioned about your family moving to a city. Is that Manila?
No, it's a city in Mindanao also.
Ah, okay.
So where I live in a mountain.
Yeah.
It's mountain just like you have to walk through by waters, walk until you get home. It's very hard because there's no transportation. So you have to walk by your own going home. You have to climb. It's very hard.
Yeah.
So my parents moved in the city, far from our home in the mountain.
Mm. And how was that? Did life improve, you feel?
I was very happy. Mm. But at the same time, we struggle a lot because we don't have relatives in the city. Mm. We're just a new people in that city. We don't have a house.
It's almost like you feel like a stranger. And in a new city.
Yeah. Mm. But it's quite different because there's a houses and...
And were there schools there that you
there's
go to?
A school, but it's very far also.
Okay.
So it was very hard to start because my parents also struggle financially.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we get into that situation.
Mm.
And I don't know how we survive every day.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the grace of God.
Yeah.
So what brought you to Manila? And which year was this?
That was a long time ago. I actually don't remember the year, exact year. But I remember I was 12 years old at the time.
Mm.
So at the young age, I've experienced working as a scavenger.
Scavenger?
Yeah.
Mm.
Selling the plastic to the... what do you call it? It's like, I'm going to sell the plastic, you know, to earn.
Yes.
And then...
So you mean the plastic that people would dispose?
Yeah.
You would just collect them?
Yeah, I collect them and sell to the junk shop.
Mm.
And then when I earned it, actually...
This was 12 years old.
I was 12 years old. Mm. I was very young. Mm. I actually started working.
Mm.
And then I buy 1 kilo of rice. Because our happiness is 1 kilo of rice. That's our actually first time, like, we always survive. I want enough. One day, we should experience to eat even just breakfast.
Mm.
And then sometimes experience sleeping without... empty stomach.
Mm. Was your family there with you or?
That was in province actually.
Okay.
And before that, I met this strange guy. Stranger. Yeah. He's not actually related to the family.
Okay.
So he actually promised me and my family to give us a better life. And then he promised me to send me to school. I was very excited.
Mm.
You know, but because it's a blessing, you know, someone is gonna send you to school.
Of course.
And I've always had this dream ambition in life that one day I'm going to finish my schooling.
Mm.
And then he bring me here, he bring me in Manila, far from home, like, which is 2.5 hours flight from Manila.
Yeah.
It's very far.
Yeah.
It's a plane. So I
only
was.
You and none of your siblings.
Yeah, no. Only me and the traffic, the guy that I met in is province.
Is he AJ?
Yeah.
Mm.
So
and he would be the man that would turn out to be your abuser.
Yeah. Mm. I actually thank him because, you know, he was very nice. He was very kind. I've experienced wearing a nice clothes. He actually bring me to shopping, taking care of me, my hair. And he also teach me how to use makeup. My first food that I've experienced was when I was with AJ.
Yeah.
Because this was my very first food. It's actually very yummy. So, and at that time, until 1 month, he taking care of me. I treat him like my second father because he was very kind. And he sent me to a private school.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you stayed with him away from your family.
Yeah, yeah.
How old were you at this point?
I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And I didn't know that all the kindness that he showed me, there was an exchange in providing for his need. He sold me to different men.
Mm.
These men were old white men from different country.
Mm. When did you first realize, Cassie, that he was involved in this exploitation business?
I was actually very young. I don't know what's happening. And I don't know. It's just that I thought it was a normal thing.
And how old were you?
12 years old.
When it started?
Yeah. Mm. It all started where I was working as an online model in cybersex. I was a victim of online sexual exploitation and abuse. And I have to undress in front of the camera. And seeing all these faces, old white men from different countries, seeing my whole body. And then my trafficker is earning from me, from us. And then he also took a photo of us, of me, naked, and sold it to all white men. And he's earning dollars.
Do you remember 12 years old? What was it like? What was going through your mind when he got you to do all this X?
It was very hard.
Were you afraid?
I was afraid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anyone. I'm not allowed to go out because the neighborhood knows that this man, AJ, is very kind.
Right.
So the house is very small, but I'm not allowed to go out. I was afraid to go out. And if I actually don't follow what he's actually asking me, for example, oh, you have to get naked. If I don't follow that, he's going to slap me, hurt me physically. I've experienced like he undressed me and he spanked me with a shower naked. And I was alone that time. And I was scared. I was very scared. And I don't know how to use technology.
Yeah.
I don't have phone. My parents have no phone because we're poor.
I mean, you were 12.
You were 12 where?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to go.
Yeah.
So what I did was I followed what he's actually asking.
And was this a daily occurrence or?
It's actually every day. I have to undress in front of the camera. I have to work every day after school.
After work, you mean in this way, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like a work for me because, you know, it's like after school, I want to rest. I want to do my homework. He actually called me. Oh, there is someone who wants to see you. So I have to go to in a small room to, you know, I'm crying. To work, like to undress again.
Mm.
It's like the situation that I have is like every day I have to do it. He's actually abusing us, abusing me.
Yeah.
So I'm actually not the only one in a house. The young child that we have is 1 year old, 5, 6, and 7. We're all minors. From different, from the same place in Philippines.
Mm.
And he even make us, me, an online profile online, a dating app, where my age is 18 years old there. And he even changed our name and our surname. So the neighbor knows that he's my father.
Mm. And you know, you mentioned also that you were not the only one and there were other kids. So there were other kids that he also brought in from other provinces to do this?
Yeah.
Even the kid that's 1 year old?
Yeah. he took advantage of us. Because in Mindanao, people knows that, oh, in Mindanao, people are not educated. So that's why they took advantage of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they pretend to be nice in front of you. And then at the end,
So during this time when you were living with him and being taken care of in that sense by him, do you have any contact with anyone else, like your family?
No, I don't have.
Not at all. During this time, what was it like living with the other children who were also victims of his abuse?
Since we're very young, we don't have like, we don't tell everything. Like, I don't even tell what's happening to me. So we're just very quiet. Like, we live in a house of AJ. And then we're all minors. And we don't talk about it. We're just playing around. If AJ's leaves a home, he leaves or he go to market. Me and the kids, we're playing. Like, and, you know, and we're just playing and we don't know. We're not sharing anything. Because all the kids inside of that house, AJ's house, is actually also had dating app. And we all like, that's our routine in our home, the house of AJ. So every day routine, you have to wake up in the middle of the night, you have to work.
What was going through your mind, you know? What gave you the strength to go on every day like this?
I have this suicide thought.
Suicidal thoughts?
Yeah, because of what happened. I can't accept what's happening to me. But I had this strength that, you know, my parents, my family. I've always think of my family and my dreams of going to school. So I hold on to God. And it was very hard. It's like I had this suicide thought, but it's all God's give me strength and, you know, to hold on and not to give up.
Yeah.
That one day everything will be okay. That one day someone will rescue us.
How long did this go on for?
It took 5 years.
5 years.
I was stuck in that house of ages for 5 years.
Do you hear them crying?
Yeah, even the one-year-old is crying. I go to school and I don't know what's happening inside of the house of AJ. I don't know what he's actually doing to the one-year-old and five-year-old. So no one knows what's happening in that house.
So when did, you know, you say this happened for 5 years. Yeah. And what happened after that?
For almost 5 years, IGM came. I was sleeping that time.
And by then you were 17, around there? 16 years old, yeah.
I was sleeping that time and then someone is just woke me up.
This is in the middle of the night?
Yeah, middle of the night. And then there's a police and we were all crying. Even the one-year-old was crying. We didn't know what's happening. And they just take us out in that house. AJ is not here that time. So social workers and police been there. IGM brought us.
How did you feel? But then you must have been so worried because you obviously didn't know what was happening.
We were all crying. Yeah. So I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But I'll go with them.
Yeah.
And then the other kids. And then they bring us in Kamkramin in police station.
So you call that your second home? After that, they brought you to a second
shelter.
Home. A shelter.
Yeah. But before that, we file a case against our trafficker.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was rescued, I asked the police, where am I going to go? How about my school? Because I've always think of my school.
Your education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the my dream.
Yeah.
Like, to be educated. So IGM bring me to a shelter.
And all the kids too?
Yes, all the kids.
Yeah. And how was it like to finally feel safe?
At first, it was very difficult because of the trauma. But first time I went to a shelter, I saw lots of girls. Mm. At first, I didn't know what's happening, why they are there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why am I there. Yeah. Why am I at the shelter? So they brought us there and then they explained everything. It was very hard for us, you know, to move forward.
Mm.
The trauma and everything. It's just that I'm afraid of a guy because all the abusers are all men.
Mm.
So we were in a shelter, a safe home, and then they explained you are safe. And I realized that, oh, this is my sisters here. Mm. Different cases.
Mm.
They're all girls. So we're like sisters.
Yeah. So you were taken care of. So every day you just go back to going to school, coming back and playing with the kids in the shelter and like your sisters, like you said. Yeah,
but I have like trauma therapy first before I get therapy, trauma therapy. Mm. Because I had this experience in the middle of the night. I felt like my abuser will come and get me because I'm his favorite child. I actually blame myself. I even hate myself of doing it. But, you know, I want to live with my life and I want to see my parents. So I have to do it, even though I don't like it.
Mm.
I don't want to do it.
And after that, when you return to your room, to your quiet space, what do you say to yourself too?
Actually, there's no quiet space in his home.
Mm.
Like even you're sleeping, he's gonna disturb you.
Mm.
He's actually like, I'm sleeping in peace. And then he's like, oh, wake up, Cassie. You have someone. Someone is looking for you. Because he's like awake for 24 hours. AJ is awake for 24 hours. And he's earning. He's sending these pictures, sending these. As I said earlier, when I'm in room, I hate myself.
Mm.
And I had this suicide thought.
Mm.
And sometimes I think of killing AJ. I've never tell anyone that I want to kill AJ, but this time I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
I had this thought of like killing, but I've always said, no, it's not. My mom raised me as a good person. So that's why I can't even say no.
Mm. And what happened to AJ after you and the kids were rescued?
We file a case, we testify in court, and then it took years before we get the justice. So he's now life imprisonment.
Mm. Yeah. And I also read that you very courageously agreed to testify against him in court. How was that like, having to look him in the eye or look at him again and reopen all the hurt and the trauma he had caused?
I had to start again by pointing my pictures, naked pictures, in court.
Mm.
Because I had to.
Mm.
It was very hard and traumatic.
Mm.
Like I had this stress ball.
Mm.
Two stress ball. It can break in just because of the stress, trauma. And I have to point, oh, this is me.
Mm.
I have to start again. Like,
remember all the
abuse that my trafficker did to me and the other girls. It was very hard and traumatic. But I had to, because I had the goal that the justice will come out.
Mm. What has been the most difficult part of your recovery process?
The hard is being away to my parents.
Yeah.
It was very difficult for me. And because, you know, being away with them and I'm not allowed to go out, to go home because of my case.
Mm.
And I have to stay in a shelter for years.
Mm.
It was very hard for me to be away from my family.
Yeah.
And of course, the trauma that I've been experienced.
Yeah. Wow. So what helped you and what gave you the strength every day to take that step to recover, to reclaim your strength and your power?
My parents.
Yeah.
I've always think of my parents every day.
Mm.
Even I've experienced things that I've never should. I've always think of my parents, my school, and Jesus, God.
Yeah.
I think having the Lord in my life is one of the things that would change me, the perspective. I'm just so strong, you know, to stand.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, to stand still and, you know, to fight for what is right.
Yeah.
And, you know, to seek justice.
Yeah. How was it like when you had to break the news to your parents? What happened to you?
The social worker in Mindanao and in Manila, they have like connect with the social workers in Mindanao so that I can have communication. My parents, they didn't, can't believe that it's happening to their child. Even they always, that if AG will come, we will kill him. So, but, you know, I told my parents, no, I think it's a bad thing to kill someone. But let's just seek the justice and put him in a jail.
Mm.
So, they can't even believe that their young child has experienced an abuse by this AJ.
Yeah. Mm. Is there anything that you want people to know about, you know, cyber sex trafficking and its impact on victims?
I wish people understood that cyber sex trafficking is in real life. It's real. And that the scars of the survivors are so deep. That they should, you know, they should know and support the survivors. The healing process is very hard. And by raising awareness, we can make a difference. And I want the people to understand what is trafficking that is happening. That's why I share my story because I want to be real in front of them. I want to feel that I've experienced, this is my story. And I want you to know that I want them to understand, to know that trafficking is happening everywhere.
Thank you for using your voice and your experience for good. How are the other kids that were rescued with you?
The other kids, the 1-year-old is already in school. And I think she's very happy.
Yeah.
She's enjoying her life
her
now.
Childhood.
Yeah. And the other one, the 5-year-old girl, was adopted. I think he's in Spain now.
Wow.
The 6-year-old boy, he's so big now, 15 years old now.
Wow.
And he's also in school.
Mm.
And he was adopted also.
Mm.
And then the other girls was all married now.
Wow.
Yeah. And me, I'm here. I survived.
Yes. Amazing. So,
I just graduated last year in college.
You graduated last year in college. That's amazing, Cassie. You fulfilled your dreams.
Yeah, I did.
If you look back on your journey that you've had, how old are you now?
I'm 26.
26. What are you most proud of in the journey that you've had?
I'm proud of being me. I can't believe that I made it. All the struggles, hardship, trauma, and everything. Can't believe that I was here speaking in front of you, sharing my story with you.
Yeah.
I've gone too far. And the young innocent Cassie, the 12-year-old Cassie, her dream was to study. I finally fulfilled it.
Yeah.
So I'm just very proud of myself, you know. No matter how hard it is, I know that there are people who will always there for me, encouraging me, cheering me. I think it's important that they cheer me. And I felt like I can trust people again.
Yeah.
And their love, I think their love is very important, the people around me, especially IGM, because I can feel that I am safe and loved, just like the other girls. So... I'm just really happy with my life now.
It's beautiful. What other personal dreams and hopes do you have for yourself now?
to continue. I had this hope that the purpose that I have to continue my journey.
Mm.
I hope to, you know, continuing this advocacy that I have to share more, to share my story to different country, to raise awareness.
Mm.
I think it's important that my story will be heard so that they can support the survivors of human trafficking. And I've always hoped this in my heart. And my hope was not just for my personality, my personal, but of a hope from survivors in their smile.
Yeah. You know, Cassie, thank you so much for, like I said, you know, using your voice for good.
Yeah.
And thank you for your courage, your resilience throughout your journey. I think sitting here, speaking with you and looking at you, I'm so inspired by your strength. And, you know, for those of us who are also thinking, how can we support your advocacy and IGM and its cause? What will you tell them?
Partnering with IGM and of course I'm partnering with BSN, Philippine Survivor Network.
Mm.
So I'm a part of, I'm a member of Philippine Survivor Network where me and the survivors, we work together and fight for and do our advocacy and our rule. And for this, for the campaign, partnering.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that partnering is, it can make a difference.
Yeah.
And a big help for survivors, you know, to end the OSEC.
Yeah. So what are the last words do you have to share with anyone who's listening to you and your story?
My message is that let's support the organization and to end this crime, human trafficking.
Mm.
I want them to know that there are a lot of young children who is waiting for them to be rescued.
Mm.
And our voices, our mother, should be heard.
Yeah.
And I hope this story of mine, I can inspire other people and to, you know, to work.
Mm.
Of course, like to do something.
Mm.
I hope this story of mine will spread around the world so that we can end this crime. It might be take a lot of time, but I know with their support, we can make a better world for every children.
Yeah.
A safe community for them, you know, to walk into a street that they are safe, that they are not afraid of.
Mm. Well, thank you, Cassie.
Thank you so much.